AM 1160 The Quest welcomes you to Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues, primarily legislative issues in the Georgia General Assembly, but also some national issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Issues critical to restoring and protecting a culture that enable families to flourish and the kingdom of God to advance. Your hosts are Patty DeCraney and Jane Robbins. Jane worked at the Georgia Legislature and has maintained her connections there, so she's plugged in under the gold dome. Now, here's Jane and Patty.
And our guest today, Brenda Stoll, whom we interviewed last year on the public schools, specifically Gwinnett Schools, sex education. Today she will speak on HB 1138, or access to contraceptives. This is a disturbing bill, and we're so glad, Brenda, that you are here to break it down, explain it, and give us some tips on how we can affect the path of this bill. Thank you for being a part of our show today, and welcome, Brenda.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we always begin with invoking the intercession of the great St. Thomas More, the patron saint of politicians, lawyers, and our show. St. Thomas More, pray for us. Jane, before you further introduce our guests, would you please give us an update on the bills we are following?
Yes. As we are in the studio on Thursday morning, tomorrow, Friday, is crossover day, which is a big day in the legislature that you have to get a bill through at least one chamber of the legislature in order for it to still be alive for this year. And there's a lot of stuff going on, so we're going to tell you what we know right now, and things could change hourly between now and Friday night. So one bill, we had talked about the bill dealing with puberty blockers, forbidding the trans industry doctors from inflicting puberty blocking drugs on children who are confused about their sex. And what happened was a bill was stripped and that language was put on the bill. It's all very confusing. But anyway, the House has the bill now. It's HB 54. What we're waiting on that is to see if the House will agree to the Senate changes on that bill. So HB 54 is the puberty blocker bill. We are also waiting on HB 1275, which is a bill that is in the House Rules Committee, which is the last step before it goes to the floor of the House. And this would prohibit using cells from aborted fetuses in research. So it's passed the House Committee, but it needs to pass House Rules and the House floor before Friday night. On the marijuana bills, which we have talked about, nothing really has happened with two that we had discussed, SB 220 and SB 33, but both of those have already passed the Senate, so we're waiting to see if the House is going to take them up. SB 220 is bad, SB 33 is good from our point of view, but nothing has happened there yet, so we've got some more time to weigh in on that. There are a couple of other House bills that were heard in committee yesterday, I understand. One is HB 1248, which would legalize, to my understanding, would legalize recreational marijuana. And one is HB 496, which would say that law enforcement officers can't use the smell of marijuana as a reason, as probable cause to do a stop. So both of those bills would expand access to marijuana and make it easier for our entire culture to be stoned. So we're waiting to see what will happen with that. That we're hoping that neither one of those will make it to the House floor tomorrow night. Now, we are looking at SB 74, which is the bill that would make school and public libraries subject to Georgia obscenity law so that they cannot have obscene books available to children. That bill needs to pass on the House floor. It's got a little bit of time to do that, though, because it's already passed the Senate. SB 497 is a bill that would require schools to notify parents when their child receives what is called non-instructional services at school. And this could mean going to the school nurse, getting some sort of medical care, getting counselor care, not counseling in which course should you take to qualify to get into such and such college, but counseling as far as medical, emotional, mental health counseling, because it has happened in a lot of instances where a child is being counseled about things that the parents need to know about and the parents have not been notified. So SB 497 would require that they do that. It is passed the Senate, and so it is going to the House. And last, we have heard rumblings that something is going to happen on gambling. We don't know. Until today, nothing has happened, but there are two bills, one in the Senate, one in the House, that would take steps to legalize sports gambling, the predatory gambling online. And I've told my friend Mike Griffin down there to let me know what he hears, and I haven't heard from him. So we don't know yet. So if something's going to happen, it has to happen by tomorrow night.
Those two gambling bills didn't already pass?
Okay. No, they were sat in committee last year.
All right. So we can make some phone calls. And go to thequestatlanta.com to find out. Jane will update anything that might be happening with these bills. And when you go to the website, you click on programs, you go to local programs, to Legislation Made Simple. Okay, Jane, let's bring Brenda on.
All right. We are happy to welcome back our good friend Brenda Still. Brenda is a parishioner at St. Pius X in Conyers. Before she and her husband moved to Conyers, she lived in Gwinnett County for a long time, and she served for years on what's now called the Community Health Education Advisory Committee of Gwinnett County Public Schools. This committee brings together parents and teacher representatives to oversee health and sex education policy in Gwinnett schools. Now, as a registered nurse and a Gwinnett parent, Brenda was the perfect asset for that committee, and she used her knowledge and influence to help establish curricular policy that was based on good scientific principles and good moral principles. Brenda is also very active in the pro-life movement and is very good at breaking down the talking points of legislation to determine what the actual effects would be on women and babies. So before we begin, let's reiterate the well-known church teaching about artificial contraception, because that's a bill we're going to talk about today. Paragraph 2370 of the Catechism describes artificial contraception as intrinsically evil because it is a deliberate violation of the design that God built into the human race to use the conjugal act to welcome new human beings.
Seems to me that all bills that are becoming laws should be for the betterment, not for something intrinsically evil.
That's what one would think.
Right. Brenda, let's dive right in by talking about this bill that was introduced in the House a couple of weeks ago. The bill is called Increasing Access to Contraceptives Act. It is a Republican bill that is, in fact, co-sponsored by the Speaker pro tempore, or assistant to and acting on behalf of the Speaker. I had to explain that because I didn't understand that. And what this means is that there's some heavy hitter support on this bill. Tell us about it, will you, Brenda?
Okay, so this bill has some very grave concerns. And unfortunately, it just overwhelmingly passed in the House. Mm-hmm. And this bill would allow women and girls who have a previous prescription for hormonal contraception to continue to obtain this contraceptive simply by going to a trained pharmacist as opposed to going back to their doctor. The contraceptives that they could get would include self-administered ones like oral contraceptives, birth control patches, and birth control rings. But they could also have a birth control shot such as Depo-Provera administered to them every 3 months by the trained pharmacist instead of their doctor. So this bill talks about standing orders, which sounds as if these prescriptions can be filled year after year at the discretion of this trained pharmacist. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk about this trained pharmacist really quickly. The training, pharmacists are not required to go through the training on their own. If they decide they don't want to do this, they don't have to go through the training. Only those who go through the training will be allowed to dispense contraceptives in this way. However, if every pharmacy wants to get in on the profits here and require some or all of their pharmacists to go through the training, this could be a problem if the pharmacist is a Catholic and does not want to administer a birth control injection. You know, will they be forced to go against their conscience? There's no conscience protection in there. The state does not require pharmacists to get this training, but an employer might.
Right. That is always a concern, and there's always pressure on people who really want to live according to their faith when they're in the medical profession. Now, the language of the bill is odd. It says a patient who is 18 or over needs a standing order. Now, Brenda, is standing order the same thing as prescription or not?
You know, to me, when I tried looking it up, mm-hmm. and it doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, a standing order.
Because it's
order,
not defined.
Right. Sometimes, like for an antibiotic, obviously you would not have a standing order for an antibiotic. It would be for a specific amount of time, you know, like a 2 or 3 week period or something like that. A standing order means it could be a long-term one, but even like for cholesterol medication, you know, you every 6 months you have to go back to your doctor. The doctor should not be renewing your cholesterol medicine unless they check your blood work first. So for standing order, it means that, I mean, I know women can be some birth control methods for years, okay? But, you know, it doesn't make sense. It sounds like it doesn't matter whether you're over or under 18 either when you read the bill, because they talk about over 18, under 18. It doesn't sound like it makes a difference. As long as you have evidence of a previous prescription, it seems like you can obtain it from a trained pharmacist as opposed to the doctor who prescribed it, as long as the pharmacist is willing to dispense it to you. I mean, the pharmacist is supposed to use certain. Anyway, we'll talk about that more about some of the, you know.
So we know that the patients under 18 are supposed to have a prescription. Mm-hmm. It's a little hazy about whether women over 18 have to have it, but the patient under 18 supposedly does need a prescription.
Right.
But then we'll talk about this in just a second after Patty says something right here. We'll talk about what happens going forward with this minor who has a prescription.
If you just tuned in to AM 1160 The Quest, you are listening to Legislation Made Simple. We are speaking with Brenda Stoll, who is explaining the dangers of HB 1138, which in an attempt to increase access to contraceptives, this bill, if becomes law, would allow pharmacists to prescribe self-administered contraceptives without a doctor's visit or a prescription from the doctor. This is so dangerous. I mean, what are some of the physical dangers that there might be in letting these contraceptives be dispensed over the counter, and speak to the emotional and mental health dangers as well?
Okay. All right. Yes. I do want to make a little correction. It does not allow pharmacists to prescribe them, only to because in the state of Georgia, the only ones who can prescribe medication are like doctors and dentists and physician's assistants and certain, I think, advanced practice RNs. Those are the only ones. But it does allow them to continue to dispense it mm-hmm. based on a doctor's previous prescription. Yeah. And so the woman does not have to go back to the doctor. So this is why that's a problem. Okay.
Yes. Thank you for correcting me.
Okay, that's okay. We already have one hormonal contraceptive that is available over the counter. I don't know if a lot of people don't know that. It's called Opill. It's a progestin pill, mini pill, oral contraceptive that can be obtained without a prescription at all. Mm-hmm. There's no age restriction, no parental consent or anything on that. And so that to me is a real problem. But anyway, mm-hmm. that's what pushed the bill like this to come about and everything. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the physical problems of these contraceptives. Mm-hmm. It can be stuff like cycle irregularities, acne and weight pain, because these artificial hormones are competing with and interfering with your body's own natural hormones.
Right.
Okay. The physical problems can also include much more dangerous ones like blood clots that can lead to heart attacks, strokes, pulmonary embolisms, and blindness. Hmm. It can also increase your risk of breast and cervical cancer and increase the risk of ectopic pregnancy, which is a condition that is potentially fatal. So these are very, very dangerous drugs to be given on an ongoing basis. And something like Depo-Provera should never be given more than 2 years because of it can cause osteoporosis. So this is, you know, pharmacists will have to keep up with a lot, these trained pharmacists. they are actually taking on a great responsibility, the responsibility of a doctor in all of this stuff. And they really can't check women in the way they need to be checked.
Right.
Also, the emotional and mental health dangers, right? A lot of these drugs can cause depression and all. And the depression can be very serious, including, you know, suicidal, you know. These are real problems with the dangers of these medications.
Are there any contraceptives for boys or men?
No.
I mean, over the counter. Go ahead.
You talk about like hormonal ones that are prescription.
Yeah.
And then interesting.
No, there's nothing, right? So this is all women and girls.
Right.
Yeah, they're ones that will be facing this.
Right.
So, Brenda, as I read it, the bill allows any patient to continue to get these drugs, essentially over the counter, just as the dispensing pharmacist, as long as she fills out a self-screening risk assessment once a year. And to me, this is such a huge red flag. So no doctor assessment would be needed year after year after year after year. Mm. And what do you see with the self-screening stuff, especially with a minor?
Okay, well, since health can change, especially when you're on synthetic hormones, and pharmacists don't have the training or a way to check a patient in the same way that a doctor would, a lot can be missed. I mean, doctors can run blood work. They can do pap smears. They can test STDs. Pharmacists can't do that. And also the self-screening assessment can miss a lot. I mean, most of the problems, for example, STDs or cervical cancer that is detected on pap smears, they have little or no symptoms. So a girl is not going to, you know, or a woman is going to miss that too. And the pharmacists are really, part of this bill says the pharmacists are supposed to give information to the women and girls regarding the importance of seeing their doctor every year. Now, the main purpose of this bill is so that women and girls won't have to go to the doctor to renew a prescription for birth control every year.
Right.
I mean, so this makes no sense. If that is supposed to be so important that a pharmacist is supposed to tell them that, why do we have this bill?
Yeah, a very good point.
Are there any parental consent requirements for minors to obtain these drugs?
Okay, so believe it or not, there's not really any parental consent requirements for minors to obtain birth control in Georgia, okay, at all.
At all.
And that's why, that's why you have Planned Parenthood taking advantage of children, you know, from schools and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as like abortion where you're supposed to have parental consent and all that stuff. There's no parental consent obviously written into this law either. The pharmacist is supposed to refer, if there's concern about sex trafficking or prostitution, the pharmacist is supposed to refer any patient who may be subject to abuse to an appropriate social service. But is there a private room where the woman can share this information with the pharmacist? I mean, and what if the abuser is there with her when she picks up the prescription or gets the injection?
It's a gift to traffickers.
Right. She's not going to have the same privacy as she would in a doctor's office.
Right. That's just so dangerous.
So, Brenda, this bill has passed the House. It's on sort of the fast track, as evidenced by the fact that one of the sponsors is the Speaker Pro Tem. So it passed the House and now moves to the Senate. So there's still a chance to stop it. We just have to try to stop it, if you want to do that, in the Senate. So how would one go about doing that?
Okay, well, I was told, because I asked someone who was in the legislature, and said that the person, Burt Jones would be, you know, the Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones would be a good person to contact. And also Senator Jason
Antivitarte. I know it's a hard name.
Jason Antivitarte and Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones would be the best, you know, people to contact on this. And express, you know, some concern.
I have to inject a cynical note here. One reason that this kind of bill is going through quickly is that a lot of the less conservative members of the legislature are still trying to atone for having voted for the heartbeat bill. And they're afraid that if they're in a purple district, that they're going to get voted out because they voted yes on something that was so pro-life. So they're trying to pass through these other bills that would make them look like they're pro-women and pro-girls, and, oh, you can get your contraceptives without having to go to the doctor, and see, we're on your side. So for people who are running, especially, well, they're all running this year, but some are running for higher office, and so it's an uphill climb to stop this, but just to... But, you know, it's not too hard for God to climb it, so we make the calls and let them know where we are. So, Brenda, thank you very much for that discussion. I'm going to ask you about a new bill that is brand new. It just was dropped yesterday, I think. It's HB 1505. Can you tell us a little bit about that? This is about sex education in public schools.
Our set definition of sex education, it's supposed to emphasize abstinence until marriage. In fact, even fidelity within marriage as the best way to avoid all risk of sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy, and even emotional consequences. Okay, so this bill, it seems like they're injecting the word age appropriate and medically accurate throughout and all. And is that what you're seeing too? And then they're talking about being able to select what kind of different courses that people can take. They can take either the comprehensive or abstinence. I mean, it's almost looking like they're trying to give people more choices in that. But what is the definition?
Yeah, and what is, just to clarify, comprehensive is the covering everything on the waterfront, including sexual orientations and gender identities, and this is contraception is available for everybody, and so that's comprehensive as opposed to abstinence.
Okay. And
preferred.
I do want to on that too. It's not quite as comprehensive as they make it. That's their sure. definition, because they promote birth control. They will promote condoms, but they will not give you anything about the failure rates. They will tell you, oh, we talk about all the risks of teen sexual activity, but they don't. All they talk about is pregnancy, STDs. They leave out the emotional consequences. So this is not that type of education. Even though it's called itself comprehensive, it is not quite comprehensive. And then, yes, right, on the abstinence part, that's when they get into their gender identity ideology. And all, and even telling kids where you have to learn multiple orientations, multiple gender identities, and kids who are not ready for sex yet, they're labeled asexual. So this is their definition of abstinence. So we have to get what is the definition of abstinence in this? What will it entail? What will it not allow?
And there is no such definition, really, in HB 1505. It just says emphasize abstinence, but it doesn't really define abstinence, right?
Right. And there is one of the sponsors on this bill I have very big concerns about, because it is a woman who has tried over and over again to get comprehensive sex education approved in Georgia, you know, that would promote the gender identity ideology, promote birth control, promote condoms. So I have very big concerns with her name being on there.
So this bill, we assume it will be assigned to the House Education Committee. So if it's going to have to be heard and get out of there and get to the Rules Committee and get out of there and get across the House floor by tomorrow night, if it's going to go anywhere, but it might be worth a call if you can call somebody on the House Education Committee.
That would be a good idea. You know, there's such a huge sex education controversy. I'm wondering, first of all, with the state law that states abstinence and fidelity, do they not define abstinence in the law?
They do. And I remember Jane and I going and talking to the health education Department of Education for Georgia, you know, why aren't you know, this is so very specifically spoken of in here. Why are so many school districts allowed to promote birth control and condoms to the students?
Right.
And everything. So, yeah. And this law, and we were told that they take a very hands-off way of, you know, everything's under local control. So the state is hands-off.
Okay.
Unless they said, if you don't like it in your school district, you are to fight it yourself. Okay. And so this has been a problem in Gwinnett County. The people have been fighting it. Several years ago, when it was seen that they were fighting it, that the state superintendent did step in and say, you know, listen, you need to listen to the public. And they backed down, but this time they did not back down. And unfortunately, I don't know if people know, but Gwinnett County just last couple of weeks ago approved comprehensive sex education.
No. Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Against the poll numbers and the review numbers of many, many, many parents of Gwinnett County. But Brenda, in the time that we have left, just tell us, what should parents in Gwinnett do about this? What are their options? And I think there's a so-called abstinence option, but is that good enough or should they opt out?
They need to opt out, because what I was just mentioning before of the concern that we need a good definition of abstinence, that's the problem in Gwinnett County. The program that was approved is called Health Smart, and it has both a pregnancy prevention one, which promotes birth control and condoms and teaching kids how to get them without their parents' knowledge, withholding failure rates, not talking about the emotional consequences of teen sex. Okay, the other component is their abstinence and puberty one, which that's where there's a lot of gender identity ideology. They have very graphic drawings of external body parts, and they making kids, you know, work in pairs to actually label these body parts, which is can be very, I'm sure, very traumatic for these kids. And this is what they're teaching in their abstinence part. And this is what we need to let parents be aware of. When you're choosing abstinence, this is the kind of stuff that your children will be learning. They need to opt out to warn them.
If your county is using a comprehensive program or a program that claims abstinence, but you haven't looked at it and you're not sure what they mean by that, you need to opt your kids out. Teach them at home.
The comprehensive part includes both pregnancy prevention and that terrible abstinence thing. That's the default one. So if parents don't opt out, they're going to be automatically taught everything that helps Martin, you know, both for birth control and condoms and gender identity ideal.
Is it easy to opt out?
Yes, but it has to be done in writing.
Thank you so much, Brenda, for breaking these bills down and comprehensive sex education and abstinence and what's going on. All of this is tied together, you know, making it easier for access to contraception. Well, that's promoting sex.
So when in doubt, opt out.
When in doubt, opt out. That's right. And Jane, would you just close us with a prayer? And thank you again, Brenda.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, we come to you during this Lent when we are examining ourselves, our lives, our values. We pray that you would help us to be vigilant about all of these attacks on our children, attacks on our culture. We thank you for people like Brenda who are always watching this and helping to educate us. And we ask that you would give them the power of the Holy Spirit so that bad things can be stopped and good things can be advanced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Listen again next week at this same time for Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.